Thank you. Thank you. Sisters and brothers, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Are afflicted in every way, struck down, for we are persuaded that neither death nor life,
nor angels nor principalities,
nor things present nor things to come,
nor powers nor might nor breath,
nor anything else in all creation . For on Easter, God defeated death.
On Easter, life wins.
Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Brothers and sisters, you may be seated. So on this gorgeous Easter morning, I say to you, good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, I bid you welcome. In the light of life and the truth of resurrection, I bid you welcome. In the spirit of grace and peace, I bid you welcome. Welcome to a time of joy and celebration, a party for how love smote hate, how humility bested power, how truth triumphed over deception, and life overcame death. Know this, no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, no matter who you love, what kind of body you have, or any distinction that this world uses to separate or divide, know that you are welcome here. Because you, each and every one of you, are God's beloved. You are treasured and cherished by the Holy One so much that you are worth going to the ends of the earth for, and even breaking the bonds of death for. So, welcome to Easter worship. Soak it in, drink it up, bask in the love of God and the love of neighbor. Friends, welcome to the worship of God here at the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge. This morning, I have just a couple of announcements for you. First of all, we are happy to see the children in this room. We love it when kids are in this room. We are welcome the kids to stay in this room for the entire worship service. Know this. If for some reason a child feels a little antsy and needs to go somewhere else, we both have childcare for tiny and small kids in our education wing through those doors, and we have activities for older kids. There is an age limit, though, so just kids, please. Secondly, if you are new to us or if I do not know you, please notice that in each and every pew there is a pew card. If you fill it out and give me a way to get a hold of you, I promise that I will. Friends, our risen Savior said this to his disciples in his final precious moments. He said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." It was a gift that he gave freely. He did it with but one small caveat, one little bit of fine print, one tiny bit of red tape, a minuscule catch, and that is this, that we do not keep that gift to ourselves, but rather that we give it away so that it might grow and flourish. So this morning, I invite you to share that peace with a greeting, a handshake, a smile, or if you're particularly inspired, a holy hug. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Now share it with one another. When you have shared enough peace and when you have given away enough love, you may be seated. At this point, Kathy is here with her ukulele, so all the kids of this church, please come on up and join in the children's choir. Great job. So let's have the kids have a seat here for just a minute. And I still see some kids out there. If there are other children, come on up right now, because we're going to talk for just a little bit.
You stole mine.
God. Come on down. We'll wait for you. So good morning to each of you.
Good morning.
Come on, we can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. How are you this morning?
Good.
That was a really nice song that they all sang for us, wasn't it? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a song that you particularly like? Do you have a song that's kind of a favorite? Yeah. Okay, a pirate song. That's a good thing. How about another favorite song? Anybody else have a song they really like?
Me.
What do you like, Noah?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Absolutely. Any other songs that people like? Steve, what song do you like?
Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Okay, all right. Here's the thing about favorite songs. Favorite songs can make us feel good when we're sad. They can help lift our spirits when we're down. We tend to learn those songs. I bet Noah could sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star if we asked him to. I'm not going to, but I bet he could, because I bet he knows it that well. I have a particularly favorite song, and you know what? It's a really old song. It's so old that none of you are going to know it. But my bet is everyone out there knows it. It's a song by Louis Armstrong. It's a song called Wonderful World. Let me ask a question. How many people out there know that song? And Anna Grace, and some of the kids up here too. It's a great song, and here's why I like it. Whenever I'm not feeling so good, all I do is I think about that song, and it makes me feel better. Did you know that there are songs in the Bible? Does anybody know that?
Yeah.
There's like 150 songs in the Bible. They're in a book called the Psalms. And those songs were learned by people long ago so that when they were feeling happy, they could sing a happy song. And when they were feeling sad, they could sing a sad song. There is one part of a psalm that I want to tell you about because I want you to remember it, especially on a day like Easter. The word, it goes like this. You ready?
Ready.
I like that. Repeat after me. Say thanks to God.
Thanks to God.
Because God's love never ends.
Because God's love never ends.
Thanks to God.
Thanks to God.
Because God's love never ends.
Because God's love never ends.
That's what we remember on Easter. That there is no place we can go and there's nothing we can do to get away from God's love because God's love never ends. So what I want you to remember on this day is say thanks to God.
Thanks to God.
Because God's love never ends.
Because God's love never ends.
Thank you. And thank you for coming up. You can go back to your parents now.
Please join me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. That would be the confession on page 4. Gracious God, we have heard the good news, how on the third day Christ rose again.
Still you look for the living among the dead.
You rolled away the stone from the tomb. You sent messengers to proclaim the gospel.
Still we look for the living among the dead.
You are faithful to your promise. You have done wonderful and amazing things.
Still we look for the living among the dead.
Brothers and sisters, hear the good news on Easter Sunday. Our brother Paul was convinced that there is nothing in all of creation, nothing, not life or death,
There are no angels or rulers. There are no politicians or CEOs. There is nothing in our time or in any time. There is no place you could go, nothing that you could ever do. Nothing that could separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Here is the good news, that Christ comes to give us new life whenever we lay down our sins and accept forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Friends, before you is the ultimate symbol of death. The cross is the ultimate barbaric symbol of torture, humiliation, and death. And on Easter, we celebrate that God could take something as horrific as the cross and turn it into a symbol of new life. If God could do that with something like the cross, I know to the depth of my heart that God can transform any burden or anything that we carry into new life and new light. Friends, here's what we are going to do. We are going to take this cross, this symbol of death and humiliation and torture, and we are going to turn it into a symbol of life. When you came through that door in the back, you should have received a flower. I hope that you did. What I'm going to invite you to do is, in an act of prayer, is to bring that flower forward and place it in this cross. Place it in this cross so that we may transform this symbol and so that you may remember to the depth of your heart that you have new life in Christ. Here's how it's going to work. Deacons will dismiss you starting from the front, and you will go back along the sidewall of the church, come up the center aisle, and return to your seat by the sides. Once it gets started, just follow the person in front of you. Folks in the balcony, once we are finished down here, we will invite you down to bring a flower and to place your flower here as well. If you do not have a flower, we have some extras. Come forward anyway. If you cannot come forward, please give it to someone near you or give it to a deacon, and we will make sure it gets placed in this cross. Friends, the good news is we are a forgiven people. Let us live into new life.
The Easter story this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Hear the good news for today. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For the fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, hear these words and let your hearts be glad.
Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, draw near now. Draw near and hold us in your arms. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So maybe it's just because I have an 8-month-old son. Maybe that's why I see new beginnings everywhere. Like the other night, it was 2:45 in the morning. I was tired and I was exhausted, but Jake was hungry. And then as I picked him up as I held him in my arms, and as I prepared to feed him as I had done countless times before, he took those precious little hands of his, and he reached up for that bottle. He always did that just at the beginning, and then he let me feed him. On this night, he took those hands and he grabbed the side of the bottle. And he held that bottle, not just for a moment, but he held it for his entire feeding. And he fed himself. And in that new beginning, I imagined the times where I would no longer feed him, but rather he and I would sit side by side at the table. And my heart, I gotta tell you, it soared. Maybe that's why I see beginnings everywhere. In the last couple of weeks, Jake has started talking. Oh, it's just gibberish right now. But lately, the sounds are more coherent. They're more consistent. He looks into my eyes when he talks, and when I respond to him, he actually continues the conversation and talks back. His eyes, they're so intent. I could see him trying to communicate. And eventually, at some point in the conversation, he bursts into the biggest smile and then just starts laughing. And there, in the midst of the new beginning, I think about the possibilities that come with it. Long conversations, hearing about his dreams and adventures, it is good. Maybe that's why I see new beginnings everywhere. He is starting to clap blocks together, and I wonder what kind of projects he will build. He is starting to stand up while you hold him, and I wonder where those legs will take him. And maybe it's because he has three sets of grandparents who are always asking what is new. But I gotta tell you, these days, I see new beginnings everywhere. If you think about it, beginnings are special. There is a newness with them which is so fresh, but there is more. Because you see, with a new beginning launches a new adventure. They bring about new realities. And finally, with any new beginning, there is the truth and reality that nothing will ever be the same again. Naturalist and writer Sigurd Olsen calls beginnings jumping off places. He says that in beginnings, we are more alive than we are at any other point in our life. And you know what? There's scientific evidence to back that up. Science will tell you that our body is more aware and observant during beginnings. We take in more. And even better, did you know that in beginnings, we tend to focus on the positive? We tend to focus on the possibilities. Our bodies, you see, they produce endorphins at beginnings, and we are energized. Poets and scientists alike say that my heart should soar at those new beginnings. And you know what? So do theologians, for they would tell you that God is all about beginnings. And after all, we are made in God's image. Each of the four Gospels tells this Easter story, this resurrection story, in different ways with different themes. And for Matthew, the one who we encounter this year, it is all about beginnings. And Matthew's not subtle about it. He says it's about beginnings and the truth that with beginnings, everything changes. In a bit of overkill, he tells us that this story takes place at the very beginning, on the very first day of the week, on the day after Passover, which in itself was a great new beginning for the Hebrew people. Matthew wants to make sure that we're paying attention to the fact that he's talking about beginnings here. After all, I got to think that it was probably the furthest thing from the women's mind that morning as they came to the tomb. The last thing they were thinking about was a beginning. They were knee deep in a tragic ending. The ministry and life of the one they followed had just come to a most brutal ending. They had to be worried about what was going to happen to that family they had just formed together, that family of the disciples and all who followed Jesus. In the last 3 years, they had grown closer and closer together, and now all of them were hiding, scared, and separated. I got to think the women were wondering if this was the end of that family. And if that wasn't bad enough, when they showed up, there were signs of the apocalypse, the great ending of all time. There were earthquakes, there were angels descending, and there were stones rolling away. It's hard to imagine that at that moment, joy and optimism were on their minds. And then, In the midst of what had to seem like ending upon ending, God did what God does best, make a new beginning. And in that beginning, there were all kinds of possibilities. Those guards, did you hear? They were petrified by fear. But those women, they listened. You see, I think they listened because they too had gotten into the habit of seeing beginnings everywhere. Now, maybe Mary looked for beginnings because she was a mother too, and she knew that beginnings came even when you were tired and at the end of your rope. Maybe Mary Magdalene, the other one there, was ready for new beginnings in dark times because she remembered how Jesus gave her a new beginning in the midst of her own time of darkness. Maybe that's why they saw a beginning, while all the guards could do was cower in fear. Maybe it was because they had watched Jesus pull beginnings out of impossible situations, how they heard him teach and preach and breathe new life into the great commands of God. Do you remember how he stretched out his hand to the leper and said, "Be well," and the leper had new life? Do you remember how the hemorrhaging woman came up to him and all she had to do was touch the garment of his cloak and she had new life? Do you remember how there was that man who had so many demons in him that he had to live in the midst of tombs because no one would let him anywhere near him, and Jesus came up to him and said, "Demons, be gone," and he suddenly ran with new life? Maybe that's why those women saw the new beginnings there at that tomb. I don't know exactly why, but they're there where most people would have seen the end of everything. These women were able to see the beginning for what it was, something full of possibilities, a new jumping off point after which nothing would be the same. And then, if you paid attention, Matthew does something none of the other Gospels do. Both the angels and Jesus say to those women and to the disciples, "Go back to Galilee." Do you remember? That's the place where their whole adventure began. Go back to that place, the angel said, where you first felt more alive than you'd ever been before. Go back where you first saw beauty and hope. Go back where you gave your life to following Jesus and everything changed. Because the angel said, "This is a new beginning, and everything is about to change again." T.S. Eliot, the great poet, I think captures what it means to live a life of faith. He eloquently, I think, described the invitation placed before those women. He says this. He says, "Do not cease from exploration, for at the end of all your exploring will be to arrive where you started and to see it again for the very first time." Go back to Galilee, the angel said, to where you started, and there you will see Jesus again, and you will know that beginning all over again for the very first time. You're going to see Jesus and God and your faith and the whole world and life itself in all new ways, and you will marvel that nothing will ever be the same. I hope and pray that here at this church, that is the way we live every Sunday, not just this week. Every week we come back to gather in God's promise, not just to claim and recite old and ancient truths, not just to read old stories, but to come back here and see new beginnings, to see Jesus, our God, and our faith again in entirely new ways and all the possibilities that go with it. We come back to proclaim that God is not done with new beginnings, that she places them before us every day, because new beginnings, it's what God does. Friends, I know that Easter is so laden with tradition, and I think that's a good thing. It's one of those days that we do the exact same thing. We may even wear the exact same Easter outfit or pick out that fabulous hat to wear year after year. It is a day where we all go to brunch. It is a day where tradition is good, but to allow Easter to just be tradition would be to fall short of its full glory. For Easter is a day of the great new beginning, the day when endorphins should churn with the possibilities of fresh starts, the day that changes a final resting place and a tomb into a jumping off place and a launching pad. It is the day that changes everything. Today is Easter. It is a gorgeous day. It is a day to be happy, but I know that each of us in this room are carrying burdens. Each of us may be facing endings. Each of us may be facing fears and doubts that threaten to overwhelm us, just like they overwhelmed those guards. But hold on to this story and the reminder of the great new beginning. Face whatever is going on in your life with hope and faith and joy, because today we remember that what God does is create new beginnings out of even times of endings upon endings. Today we celebrate that because of God, love wins, truth wins, life wins. This is Easter. Let us with gladness hymns of triumph sing. Tell it out with gladness, death has lost its sting. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah and amen.
Please be seated. Holy and loving God, by the very design of your creation, we experience the cycle of birth, death, and renewal. You bring the soft haze of summer, the many-colored leaves of autumn, and the icy stretches of winter. Then, as if to fool us, you let the crocuses burst open. Greenness shine through the grass, and lambs birth from ewes. Spring returns. You've emboldened us, too, to accept the seasons of human life. When dreams may collapse or we face illness, loss, or challenge. We thank you for these changes both in nature and in our lives, and the contrast that illuminates what each season has to offer us. We thank you also for the gift of your Son. Dear Jesus, although some may have lost hope upon your crucifixion, we stare in bright-eyed wonder at the news of your reemergence. You submitted, you suffered, and were transformed, offering us the promise of greater life and deeper connection with Holy Spirit. Each moment of surrender brings us nearer to that rebirth, as if you've asked us to relinquish the deadness in our lives and recapture instead the vitality of life lived in and for you. We acknowledge the divine love at the heart of all creation. Bless us in every moment to remember you so we may find our way to new life and new awareness, releasing whatever it is that no longer serves us. May we surrender any dream or possession that gets in the way of loving ourselves or one another. May we find you at the end of every question, every prayer, and every inquiry. May we rejoice in communion and the precious connection you laid out for us at the moment of your resurrection. We are lifted up this day in your embrace, precious Lord. Thank you for brand new, exhilarating life only you can bestow as a sign of your mercy and benevolence. Amen.
Friends, there is a great rabbinic teaching, and it says this. It says that if it's within your power to let someone else do good, and you don't let them, it's a sin. If it's in your power to let someone else make a difference in the world, and you don't let them, it is a sin. Well, it is Easter Sunday, and I do not want to sin. And so right now, I am going to give you the chance to do good. I am going to give you the chance to help others. I'm going to ask you to dig deep in your wallets, to scrounge around in your purse, to write out a pristine check, to find something to put in the offering plates that are coming around, because this offering will go to ministries of light and life. This offering will go to help others and to do good in the world. Friends, don't let me sin. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
No.
loving God, I ask you to bless these gifts. Bless them with your love and your grace that they might go forth from this place shining as beacons of hope and new life. Bless all who have gathered here that we might go forth encountering new beginnings and new life yet to be found. We ask all this in the name of the one we follow, and let us all say, Amen. Friends, our worship is just about finished. Before we go, let me extend a couple of invitations to you. For all the children, you will want to know that there are eggs out on the lawn just waiting to be found. You can go that way. For all the adults, you need to know there is some amazing food through these doors. You should go that way. Friends, let us now close our worship in song. Friends, as you go forth from this place, may you love God so much you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing, not even death. You need fear nothing at all. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds as one until we meet again. And let the whole church say, Amen.